Welcome to The Virtual Shift, a show looking at the seismic changes happening in healthcare with virtual care at the epicenter. Join me and my guests as we look at key cultural and policy shifts impacting how providers, payers, and patients connect, as well as how care is being reimagined both for today and the future. Hello, and thanks for tuning in today. I'm your host, Tom Foley. You can learn more about this show by visiting the program on healthcarenowradio.com, and be sure to follow me on LinkedIn, Twitter, at FoleyTom. And the hashtag, The Virtual Shift. Today, we are doing a part two discussion with some very special guests from ReadyCare. We have Stephan Egan. He is the founder and director of at ReadyCare, and Andrew Shepherd, who is the clinical lead. Welcome to the program, guys.
Thanks, Tom. Great to be here.
I'm delighted to be back.
So in our first episode, we talked a lot about digital therapeutics. And we talked about how the ReadyCare platform, which focuses on diabetes and helping them get to remission. And I want to emphasize that that last phrase. Again, we previously talked about diabetes being a progressive chronic condition. Your technology and your solution really changes the mindset in that diabetes truly can be placed in remission through the use of your digital therapeutic, which obviously has clinical backing. So tell us a little bit more about that, Andy.
Sure. So our digital therapeutic, Tom, as you correctly said, just brings together all of the evidence-based components of an effective digital therapeutic, the main focus being on an evidence-based dietary protocol and building health literacy with our patients, with our clients. So showing them what foods will spike your blood sugar levels, what won't. And as you correctly said, type 2 diabetes was, for the longest time, considered a chronic progressive disorder. Chronic meaning that it will last a long time. Progressive meaning that it will get worse over time and you require lifelong medication. We know that's no longer the case. A lot of the consensus statements now are looking to GPs and advising that diabetic remission should be a clinical target for every diabetic patient. So teaching a patient how to eat and how to lower their blood sugar levels, get better glycemic control, and actually get to a point where they can put their diabetes in remission is a very real clinical target. And that's what we do with our digital therapeutic, as well as addressing all of the other cardiometabolic risk factors from HDL, triglycerides, blood pressure, obesity, and so on.
Very interesting. And, as you know, my father had diabetes, and he had the worst of the complications leading to amputations, plural. And so I know that condition all too well, more so not only from the patient's perspective, not just in the condition, but how it changes a household and how it changes a dining room into a bedroom. So there's the domino effect in not treating diabetes, and the mindset that it is a progressive condition potentially leads to those types of outcomes, as my father experienced, versus the idea that just because you have diabetes doesn't mean you have to die with it. You can put it in remission. And the key here, as we previously discussed, is around education. Education for the provider, education for the patient, and the two of them being in sync if they're both going to get to value in that context of a clinical outcomes. Stephan, what are your thoughts on that?
Agree completely. It's education on the physician side, the provider, the patient, and indeed extending that education, health literacy around type 2 diabetes remission within the family of the person who has the condition. So deeply important to connect all of that. And that can be done very easily with the right education and right health literacy around lifestyle and optimized dietary protocols.
So when we talk about education, it's not a once and done, watch this video and you'll be cured, right? It's education over time. The key, in my view, on value is how do we get to value is really the adoption of a what I would refer to as a continuous care model, right? My audience has heard me say many times is that, the average Medicare patient with 5 chronic conditions sees 9 different doctors, right? They only spend 15 hours in front of their doctors in a given year based on CMS data. The issue is what happens the other 8,745. That's really where you become aware in the doctor's office, you change behaviors in your home, and you need that ongoing continuous care / coaching in order for a patient to ultimately engage in realizing that they can do better in the context of their chronic conditions. Stephanie, your thoughts on that from a clinical perspective?
I think the point you make around treatment is done at home. The combining a digital therapeutic where there's education, health literacy in conjunction with remote patient monitoring, chronic care management is absolutely essential. So when a patient gets education, they build health literacy, that education and the outcomes of the education can be further emphasized and reinforced when there is a consultation done with a health coach based on weight loss, reduced blood pressure, reduced blood glucose levels. So the monitoring, chronic care management gets blended into the digital therapeutic and education, health literacy, and it's all connected. That type of structure will lead to enhanced, optimized clinical outcomes. Andy, you might be able to comment on that in terms of real world experience.
Yeah, sure. And I think absolutely to your point, Tom, we don't want to educate patients and say, you know, or give patients a rundown and say, here's exactly what you should eat and not really explain the why. We want to say, here are the foods that will increase your blood sugar levels. Here are the foods that will lower your blood sugar levels. Here's how we lower your blood pressure, and actually equip the patient by building true health literacy to the degree that if they're out for a meal in 6 months' time and they haven't spoken to us in the last few weeks, they know what food choices to make, that they've bought into that. Because with true education, you can't unknow what you know. So for example, I had a patient who said to me last week, God, I can't get that video out of my head where you said that a bowl of oatmeal, when fully digested, is the equivalent of about 16 spoons of sugar in my blood. So anytime I'm staying in a hotel now, I have eggs and avocado in the morning and my blood sugar levels are much better. So building that true health literacy around real world food choices and how to navigate the real world, as opposed to saying, just follow this dietary protocol is the key.
Well, I learned something myself because I was at a hotel, and when I stay at a Marriott, I always eat oatmeal in the morning. So I know not to do that anymore, given that quick explanation. So I didn't know that. Just a lot of people feel like oatmeal is actually healthy for you.
Yeah, and healthy as it pertains to insulin sensitive or metabolically healthy individuals is not necessarily healthy when somebody is insulin resistant or has pre or type 2 diabetes. So, for example, if you have someone who's typically younger, you'll be more insulin sensitive. If you're in your late 20s, early 30s, you're fairly active, you haven't got high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, you can be insulin sensitive enough to get away with eating those sort of foods. But if you're one of the 88.8% of Americans, for example, who don't meet the diagnostic criteria for metabolically healthy, those food choices are not great. So we want to dial down the amount of processed carbohydrates in the diet and dial up healthy fat and protein to get really good glycemic control and metabolic health.
Interesting. Stephanie, you had a comment?
Just one to reemphasize and speak to your and Andy's point, that this type of messaging gets reinforced by the healthcare professional when they review the patient's data, their historic blood pressure over the last 30 days, every time they do a consultation. So it's all about connecting all of these dots to embed digital therapy, lifestyle therapy into RPM and CPM and remote therapeutic monitoring. So connecting all these, sitting beside each other on the one protocol, will deliver optimized results for the patient in terms of getting to value.
Yeah, so it's interesting you say that. So just a continuation on this continuous care model, I'm a believer that remote patient monitoring, remote therapeutic monitoring, and chronic care management are different tools that a provider can leverage now to provide that continuous monitoring. I can extend my delivery of care from that 15 hours that I see my patients in a given year to a 360 type of program, because now if you're a diabetic, I can monitor you relative to your glucose level under remote patient monitoring. I could and gather other pieces of data that better allow me to coach. I can provide education to you and care management to you, again, on a more continuous basis, so that you're not eating that jelly donut for the couple days just prior to going to see your doctor again on your 90-day checkup, right? I do believe that these models are part of, along with digital therapeutics, part of the overall solution on how do we get to value. You get to value from an episodic care model to value. You have to start providing the continuous care, embrace these programs, and you can ultimately, one could argue, you could improve the overall care delivery of your patients, and quite frankly, get paid for, from a doctor's perspective, get paid for those things that you previously probably have done not under any CPT code, right? But at the same time, you've got this model in place, and then understanding that model, you can understand how potentially you could take on risk in your overall delivery of care model. Thoughts on that, Stefan?
Yeah, we see a lot of opportunity in terms of taking risk in terms of outcomes and getting to real value. If you think about it, lifestyle therapy is a first-line indication for all chronic illnesses. That is just every medical association in the world adhere to that, okay? So here we're combining that first-line therapy with monitoring that will lead to enhanced clinical outcomes and to value-based care delivery models. No question about that.
Oh, when you say lifestyle therapy in that context, it kind of implies that we jump into the delivery of care when there's an illness, as opposed to how do we prevent, you know, lifestyle therapy says, I'm not yet diagnosed with diabetes, but my diet's terrible, right? And, you know, as Andy said, in my middle years, I'm very active and, you know, you don't necessarily develop these conditions. But when you start hitting your 40s and 50s, that's when things start to go to hell in a handbasket. What are your thoughts on how do we intercept the delivery of care in the context of wellness education?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at any treatment algorithm for any chronic illness, such as type 2 diabetes, dyslipidemia, hypertension, obesity, the first box in the algorithm is lifestyle therapy. To date, doctors had no clinically validated protocol to refer onto, such as an RPM product and a digital therapeutic. So that should be the first line treatment in a chronic disease where somebody is pre-diabetic or indeed newly diagnosed. And that oftentimes should be ran initially or in conjunction with medicines. So I think that's the key bit here we got to fill, that there is a validated lifestyle therapeutic in conjunction with remote patient monitoring and chronic care management that fits that clinical protocol. All medical associations recommend lifestyle therapy. So if you think about a patient who's seen five or six different doctors because they have five or six different chronic illnesses, all of these physicians will recommend lifestyle therapy. But usually that means the doctor says you should eat less and walk more. It's not a structured, clinically validated protocol. So that's the bit we got to get embedded into the treatment process, in conjunction with chronic care management and remote monitoring, Tom, in our view.
I don't want to belabor this point, but it seems like the notion that a payer, at least here in the U.S., would say, hey, your annual visit to your doctor, it has no copay, right? It's covered by your insurance. I know you have a different insurance coverage over in Ireland. The point there being is this once-a-year checkup is really an old model, I would say, because it's really about how do we engage the patient the other 364 days of the year to ultimately – it's because it's a constant. It's not a once-in-a-year effort. It's not a once-in-a-three-month visit. It's really a constant mindset and engagement on how we maintain wellness ultimately is the goal, right? Maintain wellness versus tracking and trying to treat chronic conditions and putting them into remission. Andy, thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely agree, Tom. And particularly when we look at it through the lens of prevention. So if you look at the pathophysiology of, let's say, for example, type 2 diabetes, there are kind of warning signs. There's a little scream from the liver. You'll tend to see liver enzymes going off. You'll tend to see HDL, high-density lipoprotein, going low, triglycerides going high, systemic inflammation, a little bit of blood pressure, a little bit of weight around the midsection. And usually, if you look at the pathophysiology, 3, 4, 5 years later, you see the actual meeting the diagnostic criteria for type 2 diabetes. So when physicians know this and can spot it early, if they have an evidence-based dietary protocol or digital therapeutic like we offer at ReadyCare to refer to, we can prevent all of those downstream effects that we see with type 2 diabetes. And you spoke yourself about your dad and the horrendous time he went through with complications. And the interesting thing about the complications is that they are from the high blood sugar levels of uncontrolled high blood sugar levels of diabetes, as opposed to the disease state itself. So if you take a diabetic patient, but you don't put them into remission, but you give them very good blood sugar control, you vastly reduce their chances of amputations, vascular issues, kidney issues, liver issues, and so on. So I think prevention is almost more important than cure. We have to, I mean, obviously we have to treat the people who are obviously in that disease state that's progressed, but prevention is hugely important too.
Awesome. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Virtual Shift. My name is Tom Foley. I'm your host. We have, again, special guest, Stephan Egan, founder and director of ReadyCare, and Andrew Shepherd, who is the clinical lead. We are talking about digital therapeutics, specifically in the diabetes category, and the opportunity to put diabetes in remission. So let's shift the conversation a bit, and let's dive into the programs that we talked briefly about earlier, you know, remote patient monitoring, remote therapeutic monitoring, chronic care management. You know, remote patient monitoring says check their vitals. You don't have to get better. You just check your vitals 16 times out of the 16 unique days out of the 30-day period. And so the idea there is that by checking your vitals, you're more cognizant of your condition and therefore may change behavior. Remote therapeutic monitoring, for at least in the current state, for muscular and neurological conditions, you can collect information around, you know, did you take your meds? Did you, you know, what's your pain level? It's those non-physiological data elements. So where does the ReadyCare digital therapeutic play in any one of those two categories? Andy?
Stephen, I think you might be better answering that question, but to my mind anyway, just as a quick bit from my perspective as a more kind of a clinical side of things, if you have a kind of an evidence-based digital therapeutic like this, you're essentially, what you're doing is you're closing the circle of care by having monitoring plus an evidence-based solution. And the thing with these cardiometabolic illnesses, as Dr. Robert Lustig, who's a thought leader in the area around metabolic health and diabetes for sure, says, type 2 diabetes in particular is a very interesting condition in the sense that it's not very druggable, but it's extremely foodable. So where you can combine both of those things, and there's absolutely a place for medications, but there's absolutely a place with these lifestyle-related diseases for dietary-based and lifestyle-based protocols. I think where the two meet together, where you have monitoring, and if we look at the evidence, there is good evidence that monitoring actually improves patient outcomes. If you can put that together with lifestyle as an adjunct, you're going to improve those results significantly. Stephen?
Yeah, just well answered, Andy. You know, if you take somebody who's diabetic, they're monitoring their blood glucose, they can see the immediate effect on a digital therapeutic and lifestyle intervention. So they can see their blood glucose lowering quickly. Their healthcare professional can see that happen. The healthcare professional can reinforce the goodness that's happening when they do a consultation. Same with blood pressure, same with weight. So it's just an integrated approach where the monitoring shows the effect of the changes in lifestyle and health literacy have, and that's get reinforced and monitored for the duration of the patient treatment.
So if I was a provider, I could obviously enroll you into a remote patient monitoring program. You, in that program, you could be issued a glucose meter of many different flavors, but I could also enroll you in a chronic care management program. Chronic care management, with the assumption of if you have diabetes, you probably have more than one chronic condition versus just diabetes. It would be PCM if it was not chronic care management in and of itself. But the point there being is what you're saying in the context of this digital therapeutic, as part of your care plan, I'm going to prescribe you, if you will, this digital therapeutic, a program for the patient to engage in helping you, one, stabilize and manage your diabetes and work in a program that has clinical results towards remission. Do I have it right, Stephan?
Yeah, correct, Tom. So if you think about a patient who's, you know, signing up with a physician for chronic care management or remote patient monitoring, they would have access to all of the monitoring, all of the health literacy and digital assets that ReadyCare produce, and connect it into the health coaching and the protocol the physician group are running. So they get access to all of it together in an integrated fashion.
So under chronic care management, that care manager and provider are helping that patient to, and remote patient monitoring, help because they can be enrolled simultaneously. They'll see the glucose level, they'll see the performance, because the in the context of glucose, but they'll also see the performance in the engagement of the digital therapeutic, because the digital therapeutic does have FaceTime, if you will, with a clinician through telehealth type of services, but it also has programs that they have to watch, videos and educational programs, right? So there's a combination of monitoring, education, care management, engagement, again, that ongoing continuous care model that really is the foundation of any successful program. Would you guys agree?
Yeah, and what we see there, Tom, is it's hugely useful, and most platforms like GenieMD can monitor consumption of video-based education. So the healthcare professional can see how much education a patient has consumed. We talk about swallowing the digital pill. And so if their blood glucose are bounding around the place, the healthcare professional might say, well, you need to look at this specific piece of video. And oftentimes the healthcare professional will send an email after the health coach consultation with two or three videos to watch to reinforce the learnings and the communication at that health coach consultation. Andy, you might have a comment on that, being on the front line.
Yeah, sure. So even just in terms of an example, Tom, that'll really kind of help solidify our thinking around it. If we have a patient who comes on, you know, they're 4 months, 3 months, 4 months into their treatment, and they say to me, I'm a bit concerned, I have a meal out this weekend with relatives who I haven't seen in a long time, and I'm not sure what to eat. We see the same sort of stuff coming up. So we have touch points set up that we can literally, from within our system, click SMS or email, and they'll get SMS or emailed or both a video that says, here are the best food choices, here are the foods that will help lower your blood sugar levels, and here's how to best navigate that meal out. And that goes for best types of fruits, vegetables, how to manage social situations, what type of exercise to do, and so on. So various different important touch points.
I hear you. So it's not just about the ability to ask someone if you don't know, but also providing a repository of information that they can search that has a clinical approval, if not a lack of better word, that as opposed to the internet, which everything is true on the internet. So the point there is that it's really about access to resources, whether, again, and that resource could be a human, could be video, could be text. But it's also ultimately about putting that patient in an environment where they know they have access to care and they are not alone in the battle relative to how do I change my behavior, because that's the fundamentals. If you don't have that mindset, it's not going to be successful. I don't care if you have hypertension or diabetes or anything else. It's really fundamentally about changing behaviors, giving that person access and coaching along the way. I won't say clinical care, but although it is clinical care, but the more that they feel like they have a coach, they have a go-to versus a doc, you know, with all the, a doctor is a coach. But the point is that, yeah, I think you get my point in that there's just needs to be this reinforcement on a day-to-day basis of how do we change direction here. Stefan, your thoughts?
Absolutely, Tom. And even when you think about remote monitoring, for example, some platforms can, you got to get 16 weigh-ins, we'll say, or data points captured. So if we're treating somebody for type 2 diabetes and we notice that they haven't checked their blood glucose level in a couple of days, that triggers an SMS or a video message talking about the importance of checking your blood glucose on a regular basis, or indeed checking your blood pressure on a regular basis if you're suffering from hypertension. So it's messaging, explaining the reasons why, building health literacy, all integrated into one continuum of care. And it's, absolutely, you know, we talk about always being on, always being available, because people need the support.
Always being on, always available. That's the key to a continuous care model. And that's the key to a patient feeling like they can actually change their behaviors because they got this support system in place. And they know they have that trust and reliability that is necessary for them to engage. Andy, we have a minute left. Any last thoughts?
I just think, Tom, if you can combine a digital therapeutic, an evidence-based digital therapeutic, particularly when referred by a primary care physician, it's incredibly powerful. And what we do is we take the two evidence-based components that we know to elicit effective lifestyle change, which is the monitoring side of things, but also an evidence-based protocol or digital therapeutic. The two of those together are just, I mean, it's the right way going forward. It's that new
kind of paradigm of care that we strive for every morning when we get up. So really closing the circle of care makes both elements much more powerful when combined together.
Stefan, you have the last word. Any last thoughts?
I think Andy summed it up perfectly in terms of our view on the whole chronic care management, combining monitoring, physician input, healthcare professionals, lifestyle intervention, all in one continuum will lead to optimized, better outcomes for patients.
I absolutely agree. Guys, great, great conversation. You guys are on it. I very much appreciate your time and hopefully you have a great day. Take care.
Thanks, Tom.
For having us, Tom. Pleasure to be here.
I want to thank the show sponsors, HP. HP Engage Long Lifecycle Products provides the stability, safety, and security you need, plus flexibility and performance designed for today and tomorrow. As well, GenieMD, providing a modular, scalable, and customizable virtual care platform and clinical services to help providers extend care into the home, increasing access and quality while driving new revenue opportunities. If you missed part of today's episode, you can tune in at the same time, 11 a.m. or 7 p.m. Eastern, throughout the week, and be sure to check out the program page on healthcarenowradio.com. And remember, connect or follow me on LinkedIn, Twitter, at Foley Tom, and follow the show's hashtag, The Virtual Shift. I'm Tom Foley. Until the next shift.